to look at and good to handle.
Are you the most important person in the village, Smith?
Dear me, no, that'd be the master cook.
Why him?
Because what Wootton Major is most famous for is its cooking. That's why the master cook lives in that grand house beside the great hall, whereas Ned and I just live here in the smithy.
Do you go to all the feasts in the hall?
There are so many feasts and festivals in this village, if I went to all of them, I'd never get any work done. But I've been to a good few, including the 24 feast.
Why is it called that, Smith?
Don't you young'uns know any history? Because it's only held once in 24 years, and only 24 children are invited.
How'd you get to go?
That's difficult. You only get an invitation if you've been good. Aww. Which is why it's also known as the Feast of Good Children.
Aww. Do we have lots to eat?
Oh, of course. For that occasion, the master cook is expected to do his best, especially with the great cake. My grandfather was master cook many years ago. But that's the beginning of a long story.
Tell us!
Very well, then. I was only a few years old at the time, but one day, to everyone's surprise, my grandfather suddenly announced that he needed a holiday, and away he went. When he came back, some months later, everyone said he seemed different, changed somehow.
Where'd he been?
Nobody knew, and they didn't like not knowing, nor did they like the first thing he told them when he got back.
You'll be pleased to know that I have not come back to you empty-handed. I found myself an apprentice.
What apprentice?
Meet Alf.
Hello.
Why this wispy young thing?
Well, scarcely more than a child.
Doesn't look strong enough to beat an egg.
I'm keeping my eyes open, I used to say. Mm-hmm. And I'll choose an apprentice when I find one to suit me. Well, now I've found one.
I'll serve the master and all of you as best I can.
That remains to be seen. Mm. Anyway, what's wrong with a local lad for apprentice?
Listen, the choosing of an apprentice is the master cook's affair and no one else's. And as I've said, I've made my choice.
And so he had. 3 years later came another surprise.
Alf?
Yes, master?
Well, lad, this is it.
Why are you folding up your aprons?
Because I won't be needing them anymore. I'm off. I'll leave you to manage things as best you can, which is always very well. Goodbye for now, Alf.
Goodbye. I shall miss you, master. I don't think the village is going to be too pleased with this news.
What do you mean he's not coming back?
What a thing to do!
And no one to take his place.
There's me.
You? You're still just a lad.
What about Nooks?
Nooks? Poor cooking's better than none.
But what about the great cake?
It's 7 years till the next great cake, and by that time he should be able to manage it.
Right then. Nooks it is.
So, Nooks it was. He did his best, and he had Prentice to help him. But in due course, the time for the 24 feast drew near.
Prentice!
Yes, master?
Prentice, about this great cake. It's going to be pretty eagerly awaited, they always are.
I'm sure your cake will be much enjoyed, master.
The trouble is, it's not only going to please the children, it's going to be able to satisfy the severest critics.
Were you wondering if I had any ideas, master?
Oh, gracious, no. You're only the apprentice, Alf. I'm the master cook. No, I was simply about to tell you the kind of cake that we are going to make.
Of course, master.
Oh, I think it must be sweet. Yeah. And pretty and fairy-like. That's it. Fairy-like.
I'm not sure I know what you mean by fairy-like, master.
Oh, stupid boy. Well, you must know what a fairy looks like.
I just wondered what you thought they looked like.
Well, they got wings, of course. You know, like a butterfly.
Ah.
What I'll have is a little doll, dressed all in white, with a wand in her hand ended in a tinsel star, on a kind of miniature mountain. Yes, with little trees up the sides and the words Fairy Queen written in pink icing round her feet. What do you say to that, Prentice?
It's certainly an idea, Master.
And don't forget it was mine. Well, haven't you got any work to do, lad, standing round chattering all day? Prentice! Prentice!
Coming, Master.
Somewhere or other there's a box of spices which that last master cook left behind when he wandered off into the blue. Where is it, do you know?
Why, yes, master, where it's always been, on that shelf just above your head.
Well, reach up and get it down for me. Caught himself an apprentice.
Here you are, master.
Oh, dear, dear, dear. Dust. Oh, there's nothing much left in here. And what is left is pretty musty and probably useless. Hello? What's this? It looks like a star. Some kind of metal. But it's tarnished. That's funny.
No, it isn't.
What do you mean, if it isn't funny, what is it?
It's fae.
It's what?
It comes from the realm of fairy.
How would you know? Now get on with stoning those raisins.
What are you going to do with the star, master?
Oh, and put it in the cake, of course. It's just a thing. I dare say you've been to children's parties where trinkets like this have been stirred into the cake mixture.
But this isn't a trinket, master. It is a fae star.
Oh, very well. You tell the children. It'll make them laugh.
I don't think it will, master. But it's the right thing to do. Quite right.
Who do you think you're talking to? Anyway, since you seem to be set on fairies, I'll let you make the fairy queen put on the cake.
Very good, master. I'll do it if you're too busy. But it was your idea, not mine.
Yeah. It's my place to have ideas, and yours to do what you're told.
And then came the day of the feast, and that I remember very well indeed, for I was one of the 24 children who were chosen to attend.
And now it's time for the great cake.
Yay!
Hurry along, Prentice.
Come in, master.
Place it within the ring of 24 red candles. And now, sharpen the knife.
It's a mountain.
Covered in ice.
And there's tiny fir trees on the slopes.
And their branches. Yes.
And on the very top of the mountain, such a pretty little girl.
She dressed all in white like the snow.
With pretty little wings.
Yeah, and there's a magic
she's
wand.
She's a snow maiden.
Oh, don't be stupid, she's a fairy.
She's a fairy queen, it says so.
Have you sharpened that knife, Prentice?
I think you'll find it sharp enough, master.
Now, my dears, before I start cutting, I should tell you that inside this lovely icing, there's a cake. Made of many nice things to eat. And stirred well in are some pretty trinkets and little coins and whatnot. And I'm told that it's lucky to find one in your slice. There are 24 in the cake, so there should be one for each of you if the fairy queen plays fair. But she doesn't always do so. She's a tricky little creature. You ask Mr. Prentice, isn't that so?
If you say so, master.
What are you staring at, lad?
Nothing, master. Nothing at all.
But it wasn't nothing. His eyes gleamed in the light of the candles, and I knew he was staring at me.
Oh, but no, I'm forgetting. There's 25. Oh. There's also a little silver star. The special magic one, or so Mr. Prentice says. I expect it's a specially lucky thing to find. But be careful. If you break one of your pretty front teeth on it, the magic star won't mend it.
Every now and then a trinket or coin was discovered. Some found one, some found two, several found none. And as for me...
Oh, I found a silver coin.
Let me see.
Here.
You're lucky. I wish I'd found one.
Nothing in your slice, Nell?
No. Never mind.
Then you can keep mine.
Thank you, Smithson.
Well, now, who's found the magic star?
Not me,
no, I do. Oh, no one found it. Oh, bless me. And it can't have been made of silver after all. It must have melted. Perhaps Mr. Prentice was right. And it was really magical. And it's just vanished and gone back to fairyland. Not a nice trick to play, I don't think, eh, Prentice?
What's with the dark looks? We all make mistakes, lad.
Not about such things.
What had happened to it was that one of the boys at the feast had swallowed it.
How do you know all this?
Because I was the boy.
What happened to you?
Come on, Smith, tell us.
Nothing.
Nothing?
At least not for many months. The feast had been in midwinter, but I didn't find out about the star until one day in June. It was my birthday, my 10th birthday.
So how did you find out?
Well, the nights were hardly dark, and I couldn't sleep. So I got up, long before dawn. I looked out of the window, and a little breeze, cool and fragrant, stirred the waking trees.
The world seemed quiet and expectant.
Then the dawn came, and far away I heard the dawn song of the birds beginning.
That music reminds me of those stories of the realm of faerie. Except in those stories, the people are always singing too.
Then I began to sing.
Singing a melody that he seemed to know by heart. And in that moment...
the star fell out of my mouth.
And he caught it on his open hand.
Bright silver!
And without thinking, I clapped my hand to my head, and there the star stayed, in the middle of my forehead.
La, 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 la. He sang as he worked at his forge and anvil. And when Smith began to sing, those nearby stopped their own work and came to the smithy to listen.
I married Nell, the girl I gave the silver coin to that had found in the great cake. And we had a son called Ned, and later a daughter, Nan.
And that was all that most people knew of Smith of Wootton Major. But there was more to know.
For I had discovered the road to the perilous realm, the realm of faerie. And I was welcome there.
For the star shone bright on his brow, and he was as safe as any mortal can be in that perilous country.
At first, I walked quietly among the gentler folk and creatures of that land, in the woods and meads of fair valleys. Later, in longer journeys, I saw things of both beauty and terror. I saw a great ship cast high upon the land, and the elven mariners it carried were tall, and a piercing light was in their eyes. And I came to a dale, where light like a red sunset came up from a deep lake. And looking down, I saw to an immeasurable depth. At last, I found the road through the outer mountains, and I went on till I came to the inner mountains.
Upon a day of days, greatly daring, he came through a narrow cleft and looked down, though he didn't know it, into the Vale of Evermorn.
On a lawn, beside a river bright with lilies, were many maidens dancing. Suddenly they stood still, and then a young maiden with flowing hair came out to meet me.
You are becoming bold, Starbrow, are you not? Have you no fear what the Queen might say if she knew of this? You imagine that the star on your forehead gave you the liberty to go wherever you wished?
Yes, I did think that. And now I know that it does not.
Come, take my hand. Come into the ring. And for a while you will have the swiftness and the power and the joy to accompany me in our dance.
For a while, she had said, and all too soon the dance was ended.
Here. This is for you, Starbrow. A white flower picked from the Vale of Evermorn. Let me set it in your hair. Now, farewell. Maybe we shall meet again, by the Queen's leave.
Of my journey home from that meeting, I remember nothing.
Well, Nell, I'm back.
Dear man, where have you been? And what have you seen?
Daddy!
Hello, little Nan.
Your star's shining bright.
Oh, there's a flower in your hair, see?
Where's it from, Dad?
A long way away.
Now it's here.
I'm filling the house with light.
And shadows.
Your shadow, Dad, makes you look like a giant.
The flower didn't wither or grow dim. I made a little casket with a key for it, and we kept it as a secret and a treasure.
Time passed. The years had not halted in the village. Noakes had retired, Alf had become master cook, and another 24 feast was due.
One day, in the autumn of that year, I made a far journey, longer than any I had yet made, though I recall little of the ways that I took.
Often blindfolded by mist or by shadow, he was guided and guarded until he came to a high place under a night sky of innumerable stars.
There I was brought before the Queen herself.
Come. Approach. Approach.
I know you now.
Yes. We danced once in the Vale of Evermorn, and I gave you a white flower. Come, I would talk with you.
And we spoke long together, for the most part without words.
But what is this? Why do you weep?
For a shameful memory.
A memory of what?
Of long ago. Of a little dancing figure with a wand on a mountain made from sugar. Of the name Fairy Queen taken in vain.
Do not be grieved for me, Starbrow, nor too much ashamed of your own folk. Better a little dull, maybe, than no memory of fairy at all. For some, the only glimpse. For some, the awakening. Now, at farewell, I will make you my messenger. If you meet the king, say to him, the time has come. Let him choose.
But, Lady of Fairy, where then is the king?
If he has not told you, Starbrow, then I may not. But he makes many journeys, and may be met in unlikely places. Now, kneel to your courtesy.
My lady. After a while, I raised my head and stood up.
Dawn was in the sky. The stars were pale.
She's gone. I must return home, although my way leads to bereavement. At length, I reached the woods of Outer Fairy. Footsteps came behind me, but I was deep in thought, and at first I didn't heed them.
Are you going my way, Starbrow?
What? I don't know. What way are you going, then?
I'm going back to your village now, and I hope that you are also returning.
I am, indeed. Let's walk together. I've just remembered something. Before I began my homeward journey, a great lady gave me a message. But we shall soon be passing from Fairy, and I don't think I shall ever return. Will you?
Yes, I shall. You may give your message to me.
Ah, but the message was to the king. Do you know where to find him?
I do. What was the message?
The lady only asked me to say to him, the time has come, let him choose.
I understand. Trouble yourself no further.
Do I know you, sir?
If I throw back my hood, you may recognise me. There. Now do you know me, Smith?
Why, yes. You're Alf, the prentice.
Master cook now, but prentice once.
Your eye is gleaming in the candlelight, holding the bright knife for the cutting of the cake.
Yes. I should like to speak to you, Smith Smithson, before we go back to your country.
I've often wanted to speak with you, but although you always looked at me with friendly eyes, you always seemed to avoid talking to me alone.
If I looked at you with friendly eyes, then they took their gleam, as they do now, from this star. See? If I touch it with my forefinger, then the gleam leaves my eyes. It is about this thing that I want to speak to you.
What do you mean?
Do you not think, Master Smith, that it is time for you to give it up?
What is that to you, Master Cook? Isn't it mine? It came to me. And may a man not keep the things that come to him so? At the least as a remembrance.
Some things. Those that are free gifts and given for remembrance.
Well...
But others are not so given. You look troubled.
I was thinking, with gratitude, of all that the stars brought me.
I know. And I also know you to be a generous man.
Then what should I do? Should I give it to one of the great in Faerie? Should I give it to the king?
You could give it to me, but you might find that too hard. Will you come with me to my storeroom and put it back in the box where your grandfather laid it many years ago?
I didn't know that. What are you going to do with the star?
This year, I shall prepare my second 24 feast. The only master cook, as far as is remembered, ever to bake two great cakes. I wish to put the star in it.
Very well. You shall have it. Do you know who'll find it?
We shall see.
Here's the box from where the star came. If you put your hand to your forehead, it will come away easily. Smith?
A sudden stab of pain. The star burns so brightly. A blurred dazzle of light that seems far away. I cannot see clearly. You must put it in the box for me.
You gave me the star freely. It shall go to anyone that you appoint.
Oh?
So?
Well, I wonder what you may think of my choice. I believe you have little reason to love the name of Noakes, but, well, his little great-grandson, Tim, is coming to the feast, though he's not an obvious choice.
Neither were you, but I agree. Indeed, I'd already chosen Tim.
Then why did you ask me to choose?
The Queen wished me to do so. If you'd chosen differently, I should have given way.
If you meet the king, say to him, the time has come. Let him choose.
But, Lady of Faerie, where then is the king?
If he has not told you, Starbrow, then I may not.
I understand at last, sir. You have done us much honour.
I have been repaid. Go home now, in peace.
It was evening as I turned my steps towards home, and the even star was shining in a luminous sky, close to the moon.
Dad! You're home!
Ned.
I've been hoping for you since yesterday. Oh, how tired you look. Have you walked far?
All the way from daybreak to evening. Still, I shan't be going on journeys again, Ned. Not on long ones, if you understand me.
Well, is that the way it is, Dad? I wonder what to become of the star. That's hard.
Well, there it is. I've handed it on. And come back to hammer and tongs.
Father, do you remember the day when you came back with the flower and I said that you looked like a giant by your shadow?
Hmm.
Well, the shadow was the truth.
Prentice! I want a word with you, Prentice!
What can I do for you, Master Noakes?
Well, I was just sitting out here in the sun, trying to have a nap. But that cake's been on my mind again. It was the best cake I ever made, and that's saying something. But perhaps you've forgotten it.
No, Master. I remember it very well. But what's troubling you?
It's that little trinket. The star. I cannot make up my mind what became of it.
Don't trouble yourself about it, Master. Somebody swallowed it.
Oh! You might swallow one of those little coins and not notice it, but not that star. It was small, but it had sharp points.
I assure you, somebody did.
Then who?
It was Smith's son, Master. And I think it was good for him.
Oh, go on. You're having a game with me. Don't be ridiculous.
Well, if you won't believe it was Smith, I can't help you. Perhaps it doesn't matter much now. Will it ease your mind if I tell you that the star is back in the box?
Huh?
See? There it is, Master. Down in the corner.
So it is. At least it looks like it.
It's the same one, Master. I put it there myself a few days ago. It will go back in the great cake this winter.
Aha! I see. So you nipped it out before the baking and kept it for another time. Oh, you were always a tricky fellow. Nimble, one might say. Well, that's cleared up. Now I can have a nap in peace.
Goodbye, Master.
Eh?
Noakes, your knowledge is so great that I have only twice ventured to tell you anything. I told you that the star came from Fairy, and I have told you that it went to the smith, and twice you laughed at me. Now, at parting, I will tell you one thing more. Don't laugh again.
What?
You are a vain old fraud, fat, idle, and sly.
What are you talking about?
I did most of your work. Without thanks, you learned all that you could from me, except respect for Fairy and a little courtesy. And you have not even enough of that to bid me good day.
Well, if it comes to courtesy, I see none in calling your elders and betters by ill names. You take your Fairy and your nonsense somewhere else, and go along with you. And if you've got one of your Fairy friends hidden in the kitchen, send him to me and I'll have a look at him. If he waves his little wand and makes me thin again, I'll think better of him.
Would you spare a few moments for the King of Fairy? By this jewel upon my forehead, old man, you are at least not my elder. As to my better, you have often sneered at me behind my back. Do you challenge me now openly?
No, sir, no. Oh, don't do me harm. I'm only a poor old man.
Alas, yes. You speak the truth. Do not be afraid. But will you not expect the King of Fairy to do something for you before he leaves you? I grant you your wish. Farewell. Now go to sleep.
But when he woke, he was convinced that his encounter with the King of Fairy was no more than a dream.
Ugh. It must have been that pork at dinner. I must be more careful what I eat.
And from that day, Noakes became so lean, his clothes and his skin hung on him in folds and creases, and the children called him Old Rag and Bones. Still, as a thinner man, he lived longer than he would otherwise have done, and indeed just made his century. The only memorable thing he ever achieved.
This is the 24 feast, and there are 24 of you. And now for the great cake. It is my second and my last. Mr. Prentice Harper, bring it in. And while Mr. Prentice sharpens the knife, Master Smith will sing.
La 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 la. I looked at the children as they sang and danced. Beautiful and lively. Any one of them seemed fit to find the star. But my eyes were mostly on Tim, a rather plump little boy, clumsy in the dances, but with a sweet voice.
And now we'll cut the cake. The knife, Mr. Prentice. And make sure you find all the coins and trinkets.
Mr. Cook?
Yes, Tim?
Only cut me a small slice, please. I've eaten so much already, I'm rather full.
I'll eat yours.
No, no. For Tim, I'll cut you a special slice. There. I think you'll find it goes down easily.
So, you are my heir. I wonder what strange places the star will lead you to. Poor old Noakes. Still, I suppose he'll never know what a shocking thing has happened in his family.
Now, I have something to say, and it is this. Goodbye. In a day or two, I shall be going away. Master Harper is now quite ready to take over. He's a good cook, and as you know, he comes from your own village. I shall go back home.
Goodbye, Elf.
Thank you for the cake.
Goodbye.
Take my hand, little Tim. I must be off.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. As for the rest of you, I do not think you will miss me.
But several families, in fact, did miss Alf. And a few of us grieved at his going. And sometimes we would open the little casket I made and look long at the living flower until the casket closed again. But the time of its shutting was never ours to choose.
Leaf by Niggle.
Once upon a time, somewhere in the world, there was, and maybe still is, a tree of tales. And there are men who have spent a lifetime collecting and studying its leaves. The patterns from bud to unfolding and the colours from spring to autumn were all discovered by men long ago. Each leaf of oak and ash and thorn is a unique embodiment of the pattern, and for some, this very year may be the embodiment, the first ever seen and recognised, though oaks have put forth leaves for countless generations. This is a leaf from that tree of tales. It is the story of a little man called
Niggle.
And sooner or later, Niggle has a long journey to make.
I really don't want to go. In fact, the whole thing is quite distasteful to me.
But it is one of those things you just can't get out of.
I know I'll have to start sometime, but I'm just not in any particular hurry to make preparations.
The thing is, Niggle is a painter, though not a very successful one. Partly because he has so many other things to do.
Exactly. Any number of things. And they're such a nuisance.
Nevertheless, he does them fairly well. When he cannot get out of them.
Which, in my opinion, is far too often. The fact is, if I don't get things done, it's because I'm too kind-hearted.
Especially towards his neighbour.
Mr. Parrish.
I don't suppose you could do something for me, Niggle.
As always, this is awkward for Niggle.
Yes, of course.
After all, he is your neighbour.
And you do have a bicycle.
Yes.
You do.
Which I don't, and which I couldn't ride anyway, having as I do a lame leg.
Yes.
Which he does. A genuine lame leg.
That gives me a great deal of pain.
Yes.
Now and again, remembering his journey, Niggle packs a few things in an ineffectual way. At such times, he doesn't paint very much.
Which is a nuisance. Because for some while now, I've had a number of pictures on hand.
Most, a critic would say, are too large and ambitious for his skill.
The thing is, I'm the sort of painter who can paint leaves better than trees. I might spend a long time on a single leaf, trying to catch its shape and its sheen and the glistening of dewdrops on its edges. And yet I also want to paint a whole tree, with all its leaves in the same style, and all of them different.
Which brings us to this picture.
The picture.
The picture which is particularly bothering him.
It began with a leaf caught in the wind, and it became a tree. And the tree grew, sending out innumerable branches, thrusting out the most fantastic roots. Strange birds came and settled on the twigs and had to be attended to. Then all around the tree, and behind it, through the gaps in the leaves and the boughs, a country began to open out. And there were glimpses of forest marching over the land and of mountains tipped with snow.
As for his other pictures...
Well, I've as good as lost interest in them. Except for one or two. Which I tack onto the edges of my great picture, making the canvas larger. In fact, so large, I had to build this shed for it in the garden. Using a ladder, I run up and down, putting in a touch here, rubbing out a patch there... thing is, I don't quite know what I think about it. What I'd really like is to see myself walk into this shed, slap me on the back and say, with obvious sincerity, absolutely magnificent. I can see exactly what you're getting at. Do get on with it, and don't bother about anything else. We'll arrange a public pension for you so you can just concentrate on your wonderful picture.
A nice thought, but unlikely.
Yes. The important thing is to finish this picture. That is going to take a great deal of uninterrupted work.
Which may not be so easy.
My dear Niggle, you'll be sorry to learn that I have been taken suddenly ill. Please come as soon as possible. I realise it's a long way for you to travel, but I'm really far.
You are summoned to attend for jury service, commencing on Monday next. Since the court's time is extremely valuable, you will please be prompt.
We thought we might have a day out in the country on Wednesday and take you up on your invitation of some years ago to have tea with you.
This is to advise you that a plumber will be calling to effect repairs to your cistern on Thursday fortnight. This will require your water to be turned off for a period of between 2 and 6 hours. Please arrange to be at the above property to admit our engineer.
I don't know what to do. This is my only real picture, and I've simply got to get on with it before I have to go on this wretched journey.
Now autumn's coming on, the light's beginning to go. There's so much to get onto the canvas. I want to catch the gleam of the westering sun on the peak of that snow mountain I've glimpsed, just to the left of the leafy tips of one of those branches out there. Drat! What is it now? Come in! Ah, Parrish.
Hey, Niggle.
Come in, Parrish.
The first thing you'll say is something about the state of my garden.
I've never seen so many weeds. Don't you ever do any gardening?
I never seem to get the time.
Well, it's none of my business, of course. Except I do feel I have a neighbourly duty to point out that your garden does lower the standards. Still, I dare say that all that painting business takes up a lot of your time. I can't say I see anything in it myself.
Which is probably because he never bothers to look at my painting.
It's just a lot of black lines and green and grey patches. There's not for me to see.
What is it, Parrish?
Well, I oughtn't to interrupt you, I know, but my wife has been ill for some days and I'm getting worried.
Oh, I am sorry.
And the wind has blown half the tiles off my roof and water is pouring into the bedroom.
Dear, dear, you are unlucky.
I think I ought to fetch the doctor, but with this lame leg. And I ought to call out the builders too, only they take so long to come. I was wondering if you had any wooden canvas you could spare.
He must have noticed the painting at last.
Just to patch me up and see me through for a day or two.
I'm afraid I haven't, but I do hope it's no more than a cold that your wife's got. I'll come round presently and help you move the patient downstairs.
Thank you very much, but it is not a cold. It is a fever. From the way you keep fiddling with that paintbrush, I can see you're busy. Sorry to have troubled you. I had rather hoped you might be able to spare the time to go for the doctor, seeing how I'm placed. Oh, and the builder too, if you really have no canvas you can spare.
Of course, I could go. I mean, I will go, if you're really worried.
I am worried, very worried.
Yeah, I said I'll go.
Only if you're quite sure you don't mind.
Quite sure, Parrish.
Oh, I wish I was more strong-minded.
By which he means that, like all of us, he wishes other people's troubles didn't make him feel uncomfortable.
Curse this rain!
Not a good day for a bicycle ride.
And no more work today either. And there's that picture waiting. And barely time to finish it. And I've just thought how I could paint that distant vision of the mountain with a spray of leaves beside it. Except that by the time I get back, I'll have forgotten. Oh, well, on we go. Except that the doctor will probably be out, and the builders will probably be closed, and I'll probably end up catching a chill.
And, of course, Niggle is proved absolutely right.
Sir!
Well now, Niggle, how are we today?
I'm
no talking, please. Just pop this under your tongue. Feeling hot?
Mm-hmm.
And throat dry?
Mm-hmm.
Aching limbs?
Oh.
As I expected. Any odd sensations? Peculiar dreams?
Only the leaves, huh?
Hang on. Yes?
Oh, only the leaves, Doctor.
Leaves?
They're so beautiful. Leaves and branches all over the ceiling and inside my head.
You have a fever.
Wonderful, marvellous patterns.
Keep warm and stay in bed.
Mrs. Parrish? How is Mrs. Parrish?
Nothing serious, just a cold. She's fine. Good day.
Oh.
Turning his face to the wall, Niggle loses himself in...
Leaves. Limbs and branches. Boughs and twigs. And leaves. Green and yellow gold, turning, curling, falling, unfurling in the wind.
And the wind goes on, blowing and blowing, taking away more of Parrish's tiles, and some of Niggle's as well.
I wonder if the builder's been, or if he's still to come. Perhaps I ought to get up and see. I suppose I should try and get myself some food. Except I don't think I can be bothered. I really ought to go and find out what's happened to the Parrishes.
And he returns to his leaf-filled dream. While next door, at the Parrishes...
Obviously that Mr. Niggle forgot to call at the builder's.
How typical of him. Mm. And has he been around to see how we are?
No.
No. There's you getting over a severe illness.
Yes.
And there's me with the rain having got into my legs so that it aches like a nagging tooth.
And here we are spending each and every day mopping up water. Mm. He hasn't even had the decency to come round and see if there's anything he can do to help.
Typical.
A week goes by. The wind eventually drops, and so does Niggle's temperature. He totters out to the shed and sits in front of his painting, looking at the tree.
Oh, I might just add a few brushstrokes to that far-off view of a sandy desert over there, beyond the hills. If I can only summon up enough energy to get up that ladder. Oh, I feel quite giddy. Oh, how am I ever going to finish this tree? Damn and blast. Come. In.
Niggle?
I'm Niggle, yes.
I am inspector of houses.
Oh.
Your neighbour's house is not satisfactory at all.
I know. I went to the builders, but they were shut. So I left a note, but they've never come. Then I've been ill.
But you are not ill now. You should have helped your neighbour to make temporary repairs. That is the law. There's plenty of material here. Canvas, wood, waterproof paint.
My picture?
I dare say it is. But houses come first. That is the law.
But I can't...
Are you ready?
Me?
Yes, you.
What do you mean, ready?
Oh, come along, I'm the driver.
Driver of what?
You and your transportation. You start today on your journey, you know.
There now. You'll have to go. But it's a bad way to start on a journey, leaving your jobs undone. Still, we can at least make use of this canvas now.
Oh, dear. But the tree, it's not even finished.
Not finished? Well, it's finished with, as far as you're concerned, at any rate.
Now, come along.
But I've not finished packing.
Oh, there's no time for that. You should have done that before.
Can I take this bag here?
If you want. Only hurry up or we'll miss the train.
No time to finish the picture. No time to pack. This bag isn't going to be a lot of use. Just a paint box and a small book of sketches. Perhaps I won't need anything where I'm going. Thing is, I've forgotten where I am supposed to be going. Or what I'm going for. Oh, I'm so tired.
Niggle! Niggle!
What? Where am I?
Oh, there you are. Niggle!
Yes?
Come along there.
Luggage?
I've only got one bag. Oh, no. I left it on the train.
No luggage. You'll have to go to the workhouse. This way.
Well, come along.
I don't think I can go anywhere. I feel rather faint.
I have prescribed medication. It must be taken without fail.
Here, drink this.
Oh, it's horrid.
You're not required to like it.
I'm changing your medication three twice daily. Any remarks?
I should like to go outside.
You're not allowed outside.
It's more like being in prison than in hospital. I should like a room with a window that looked out.
All windows look inwards.
But it's so dark.
It's better for thinking.
So, Niggle thinks.
Wish I'd called on Parrish the first morning after the high winds began. I meant to. The first loose tiles would have been easy to fix. Then Mrs. Parrish might never have caught cold. Then I should not have caught cold either. Then I should have had a week longer. Week longer for what? It was something that seemed important at the time. What was it now?
You are now ready for work. Hours will be set for you and you will be given your tasks shortly.
Take this saw and start sawing.
Yes, sir.
Take this spade and start digging.
Yes, sir.
Your hours have been changed.
But what work am I to do now?
The same. Digging. Continue.
Plain digging. Day after day. Digging until my hands are raw. And it feels as if my back is broken. I cannot manage... another spadeful!
Knock off!
Complete rest. In the dark.
Niggle is lying in the dark. He doesn't know how long he's been here. He might have been lying here for hours. Or for years. And then he hears the voices.
Now, the Niggle case...
That's a severe-sounding voice.
It is.
What was the matter with Niggle?
That's gentler.
But not soft.
A voice of authority.
What was the matter with him? His heart was in the right place?
Yes, but it did not function properly. Look at the time he wasted. I think he should stay some time yet.
Let us look at the records. Yes. Yes, there are some favourable points, you know. He was a painter by nature. And a leaf by Niggle has a charm of its own. But he never thought that that made him important. There is no note in the records of his pretending, even to himself, that it excused his neglect of things ordered by the law.
Then he should not have neglected so many.
All the same, he did answer a good many calls.
Small percentage, mostly of the easier sort, and he called those interruptions.
True, but they looked like interruptions to him, of course. And there is this. He never expected any return, as so many of his sort call it. There is the Parrish case, the one that came in later. He was Niggle's neighbour, never did a stroke for him, and seldom showed any gratitude at all. But there is no note in these records that Niggle expected Parrish's gratitude. He does not seem to have thought about it.
Yes, that's a point, rather small. I think you will find Niggle often merely forgot.
Still, there is this last report. That wet bicycle ride. I rather lay stress on that. It seems plain that this was a genuine sacrifice. Niggle guessed that he was throwing away his last chance with his picture.
It's your task, of course, to put the best interpretations on the facts. What do you propose?
I think it is a case for a little gentle treatment now.
Oh, dear.
You've been listening, Niggle?
Yes.
Well, what have you to say?
Could you tell me about Parrish? I should like to see him again. I hope he's not very ill. Can you cure his leg? It used to give him a wretched time. And please, don't worry about him and me. He was a very good neighbour and let me have excellent potatoes, very cheap.
Did he? Glad to hear it.
Well?
I agree. Let him go on to the next stage. Tomorrow, if you like.
Niggle wakes up to find that his blinds are drawn and his little cell is full of...
sunshine.
Getting up, he finds, instead of the hospital uniform...
a set of comfortable clothes.
Better get dressed. It's almost...
breakfast time.
And after breakfast...
the doctor will see you now.
I'm going to put this ointment on your hands.
How long before the soreness goes?
It's gone already.
So it has.
Now I'm going to give you this bottle of tonic in case you need it. And a word or two of advice.
That is private between her and Niggle.
And finally, here's your ticket.
This way.
A pleasant little local train. One coach and a small engine, both very bright and clean. It almost looks newly painted.
Of course.
The sleepers give off a delicious smell of fresh tar in the warm sunshine.
Of course.
Even the track seems new.
It looks as if it's on its first run.
Of course.
Where does this train go, Porter?
I don't think they've fixed its name yet, but you'll find it all right.
They puff along through a deep cutting with high green banks, roofed with a blue sky. And before long...
no station.
No signboard.
Only a flight of steps up an embankment.
Leading to a wicket gate in a trim hedge. And by the gate stands Niggle's bicycle.
At least it looks like my bicycle.
Well, there's a yellow label tied to the handlebars on which in large black letters is written...
Niggle!
So hop on.
And off we go!
Bowling downhill in the spring sunshine. Over close green turf.
I seem to remember having seen or dreamed of this place somewhere or other. The curves of the land are familiar somehow. Yes! The ground is becoming level, as it should, and now, of course, it's beginning to rise again.
A great green shadow comes between him and the sun. Niggle looks up and... falls off his bicycle. Before him stands...
the tree.
His tree.
Finished.
If you can say that of a tree that is alive, its leaves opening, its branches growing and bending. He gazes at the tree. And slowly he lifts his arms and opens them wide.
It's a gift. All the leaves I ever laboured at are here.
As he had imagined them, rather than as he had made them.
And there are others that only ever budded in my mind. Well, well.
And some of the most perfect examples of the Niggle style can be seen to have been produced in collaboration with...
Parrish.
It may be surprising.
But there's no other way of putting it.
The birds are building in the tree.
Astonishing birds.
Mating.
Hatching.
Growing wings.
And flying away, singing. Into the forest. And the mountains, glimmering far away, except they do not seem to belong to the picture.
As for the tree, that is finished. Though not finished with. It just needs...
continuing.
Up to a definite point.
And I see that point precisely. The question is,
where to begin work.
And where to end it.
And how much time is required.
And the one other thing that you need.
Of course. Parish. What I need is parish. This place cannot be left just as my private park. I need help and advice. Oh, I ought to have got it sooner.
When he notices, down in a little sheltered hollow, a man leaning on a spade and looking round, rather bewildered.
Parish!
Nigel!
You're still limping.
A little. Oh, this is grand. I oughtn't to be here, really. Thanks for putting in a word for me.
Nonsense. I don't remember what I said. But anyway, it was not nearly enough.
Oh, yes, it was. It got me out a lot sooner. That second voice, you know, he had me sent here. He said you had asked to see me. I owe it to you.
No. You owe it to the second voice. We both do.
I suppose so. But this really is grand. Oh, wonderful trees. Especially that one. That great tree. It's almost as if I'd seen it before somewhere. I can't remember where. Oh, these little yellow flowers among the roots. Were they your idea?
Well, perhaps not my idea, but we ought to get started.
So they do. It would be no use denying that to begin with they occasionally disagreed, especially when they got tired.
Oh, I've never felt so tired in my life. A tonic. That's what we need. They gave me a bottle.
Me too.
A few drops to be taken...
in water from the spring before resting.
Of course. The spring.
A few drops of the tonic made the water?
Astringent. Rather bitter. But wonderfully invigorating.
It really clears the head.
And I seem to have less pain in my bad leg. I feel almost ready for anything.
Well, I've got some wonderful new flowers and plants in mind.
You have?
Yes, but I need you to decide how to set them and where they'll do best.
So they begin. And what soon becomes plain is that Nigel is now the better of the two at ordering his time and getting things done.
It's odd, but I'm the one most absorbed in building the house and planning the garden.
Well,